So take your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 13. You say, that's where we were at this morning. Yep, this is part two of this morning, I guess. Hebrews chapter 13, and I'm going to read to you here a couple of verses beginning in verse 20. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. This morning, we looked at the verses there, verses 12 through 14. And saw how that Jesus suffered without the gate, without the camp, and how that we as Christians are to go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And then if you read through the rest of the verses there, the Bible gets pretty specific on exactly what that means. And that's one thing I love about the Bible, is that God doesn't just tell us what, he tells us how. He tells us why. He gives us detailed instructions on what to do. And if you continue to read down through there, you find the things that God would want you to do, and when you're doing those things, you are doing what it said in verse 14, or verse 13, you're bearing his reproach. And so I want to read to you verses 20 through 22, and then we'll get right into the message tonight. The Bible says this, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And I want you to notice that phrase there that says this. It says, to make you, which is, or working in that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes about that phrase right there, being well-pleasing in his sight. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you once again for allowing us to be here. Thank you, Lord, for just the blessings, Lord, of life and being able to enjoy your creation, look around and see the world coming back to life through winter. And Lord, again, that's a picture of the new birth and how that you save us. And God, we're thankful for that. Now, bless us tonight as we take a few moments to look into your word. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts now. We ask it in your name. Amen. We see that phrase again, when it talks about being well-pleasing in his sight. And folks, let me tell you something. If there's anything as Christians we ought to want to do, and that is to please our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? By the way, let me encourage you. You can live a life that's well-pleasing to him. All right. And by the way, not just something that you are crossing your fingers and thinking, man, I hope when I get to heaven, I'm going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I think we all say we want to hear that. But the problem is, all right, are we doing what the Bible says to hear that? And you know what? You can know whether or not you're living a life that is well-pleasing in his sight. And I want to give you a few things about that phrase tonight, about living well-pleasing in his sight. First of all, let me say this. If you're going to be well-pleasing in God's sight, the first thing you must do is accept his son as your savior. Amen? His as your savior. Did you catch it there in that passage we just read? Did you notice what we're talking about? Talking about how that Christ in verse 20, how that he died for us. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord's Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of his everlasting covenant. Hey, why did Jesus raise from the dead? Why did Jesus give his blood for the sheep? You know why, folks? So that we could be the sons of God. That's why. Amen. And let me tell you a common thing you hear this preacher preaching on a lot, and that is making sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. By the way, folks, you could live this life, have all this world would have to offer, but if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have anything. Amen. You don't have anything. And so listen, if you're going to be well-pleasing in his sight, then you know what? You got to be saved. You got to ask Christ to be your Savior and enter the family of God. And truth be told, the Bible says before we're saved, we're enmity with God. That means we're the enemy of God. That means this. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love people. It just means positionally, they're not in the family. And there's conflict between them and God because of sin. Amen? And that's what Jesus came and did when he died on that cross. He made, the Bible says, he made peace through the blood of his cross. He made peace, peace with God for us. So if you're going to be well-pleasing to the Lord, first of all, you need to accept his son as your Savior. Second of all, what else do we see this? If we're going to be well-pleasing in the Lord's sight, we need to understand that we're always in his sight. We're always in his sight. You know what that's called? That's called the fear of God. It's called the fear of the Lord. Let me tell you something. If there's one thing that our country and world and this world needs, it's a healthy dose of the fear of God. It means this, folks. Living your life like you know God is always watching, because He is. Because He is. The Bible says in Psalms 139, "Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from me, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee." You know what those verses are telling us? There's no place you can ever go, there's no place you can ever be where God does not have His eyes upon you. Right. Amen? You ought to keep that in mind next time you want to maybe look at something you shouldn't look at. A lot of times as human beings, if we have the old human sin nature, if we're going to do something wrong, we look this way, we look that way, we look behind us. But I'll tell you, we forget, we fail to look at the direction we ought to be looking, and that's up, amen? Knowing that God is always looking, God is always watching. So if you're going to be well-pleasing in the sight of the Lord, folks, you need to realize that you're always in His sight. Now, you parents know how this is, especially when you have youngins, amen? Especially the real young ones. You've always got to make sure your eyes are upon them. If not, man, they can get away from you pretty quick, right? I remember back in 2004, and for Christmas, me and my brother took my grandpa on a vacation to the Grand Canyon. He wanted to go there, and of course, we took our wives, and at that time, Faith was the only one in the family as far as between me and my brother's kids, and Faith was just a little thing. In fact, I have a picture of Faith as a little thing that she showed me today on her phone, and if you really want to embarrass her, ask her to look at that picture, all right? But Faith was probably only, I don't even know, 2 years old maybe? Yeah, 2 years old. And I remember going to the Grand, we went to the Grand Canyon. And we did what I always make fun of other people doing, all right? We put her in one of those little kid leashes, right? One of those things that's got attached to them. I think it was some kind of strap around her back that we put a leash on to make sure that she wouldn't get away from it. She said, "Why is that?" Because that's what kids do at that age. They run away. And you got to keep a close eye on them. And as parents, we understand that. Let me just say this. God keeps a close eye on us as well. Amen. God's watching. God knows. And a lot of times when we think of that in the negative sense, and that's true. But let me say this. It's also in the positive sense. Amen. When no one else sees the things that we do that may not get any human recognition, God sees. God knows. So if you're going to be well-pleasing in His sight, you must remember that you are always in His sight. How about this? If you're going to be well-pleasing in God's sight, then you need to allow God to work in you. Allow God to work in you. Again, what's the text verse say back there that we just read? "Now the God of peace, that brought again from Jesus from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of His everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will." Listen to this. "Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ." Now that phrase, "make you," it means to complete thoroughly, to repair, to adjust, to make perfect, to restore. You know what that verse tells me? That verse tells me that the Lord has to do a lot of work to get us to the place where we're well-pleasing in His sight. Amen? He's got to do a lot of work. There's an old song that we used to sing on the bus talking about, "He's still working in me to make me what I ought to be." Amen? And let me tell you what we all are, folks. We're all a work in progress. Amen? None of us have arrived yet. And God is constantly trying to work in us to make us well-pleasing in His sight. Now, some of you here are involved with renovations. Okay? Some of you do that. Some of you buy houses and fix them up and either rent them or sell them. Some of you are going through a renovation process in your own home. Maybe it's a perpetual renovation, right? Maybe it's been going on for a long time. Hint, hint, hint. Some of you ladies told me to say that tonight, by the way. All right. But at these continual projects. Now, listen, why do we do that? All right, why do you remodel something? Why do you try and fix something up? Well, you do it to make it appealing to the sight so that you can either sell it or rent it or whatever you're going to do with it. Amen? You got to continually work on it. Let me just say this, folks. In our lives, we must understand if we're going to be well-pleasing to the Lord, we must submit to that process that God is working in us. We got to submit to that. By the way, when you're trying to fix something up, you know what you got to do a lot of times? You got to tear out the old. You got to get rid of the junk so that you can get the new in, so you can make it look better. You got to remove the old. I think of Brother Nehemiah when he was going back to repair those walls there in the city of Jerusalem. And before they could start repairing the walls, the Bible says that they had to remove the rubbish. Remove the rubbish. Let me tell you what we have a lot of times in our lives. We got a lot of rubbish. We got a lot of stuff, you know what, that builds up in our lives. It's there that God's got to get out so that He can make us into what He wants for us to be. Amen? Think about this for a minute. Go back a year. Rewind. Think about last year at the time. Last year at this time, this Sunday, in fact, the Sunday today, I believe we were meeting right out here on this property. And we weren't doing it because we wanted to. We were kind of doing it because of the craziness going on. But think back a year ago. How's your life changed in the last year? How's God worked in your life from last year to this year? Are you better for the Lord than you were last year at this time? By the way, you ought to be. Amen? You ought to be closer to God than you were a year ago. You ought to be doing things better in your life than you did a year ago. You know what that's called? It's called God working in us. Yeah. God working in us. Amen? By the way, folks, why do you think God bought us? Remember what that Bible said there as far as Jesus purchasing us with His precious blood. We've been singing about it all day long. And we tried to sing about it tonight, but the guys couldn't get their instruments tuned in. Amen? But no, listen to me. That precious blood, what do you think that was all about? You know what it was? It was to buy us, to redeem us. Amen? Now let me ask you a question. Did God purchase us so He could leave us the way we are? Is that why He made us? Is that why He, as far as purchasing us with His blood? So He can continue just to do what we want, live in our sin. Yeah, we're going to heaven, but our lives don't really mean much. Are you kidding me? Let me tell you what this Bible's full of. It's full of transformation after transformation. It's full of God saving somebody. And not just saving them, but begin to work in their life and make them into something they never thought they could be. Let me just say this. That's what God wants to do in our lives. Amen? Amen? He wants to do that in your life. He wants to do that in my life. So if you're going to be well-pleasing in God's sight, you've got to realize that God wants to work in you, and you must allow that process to happen in your life. How about this? If you're going to be well-pleasing in His sight, you need to learn to view life through God's eyes. Notice what that says there in Hebrews 13, the verse there in Hebrews chapter 13 we read. Working in you that which is well-pleasing, listen to this, in His sight. By the way, not your sight, right? Not my sight. Not what I think is good. Not what I think just works best for me. Oh, no. God wants us to work in us that's well-pleasing in His sight. Amen? In His sight. Can we continue to become a church that ceases to be controlled by what the world thinks and to be focused on the one thing and one thing only? What does God see, and is it well-pleasing in His sight? That ought to be our goal, church. That ought to be our goal. What is it that God wants to do in my life that's well-pleasing to Him? Can you as an individual cease to be worried about everybody else's opinion, everybody else's point of view, and focus totally on the one thing and the one thing only? What does God see, and is it well-pleasing in His sight? Amen? Is it well-pleasing in His sight? And by the way, when we begin to think that way, we'll begin to view life differently. We'll begin to view relationships differently. We'll begin everything we do, every place we go, all the different things we interact in, we'll start thinking different. I remember when I was a teenager and I was in high school, I had to read a book and do a report, and it was a book called In His Steps. How many's ever heard of that book, In His Steps? You may have never heard of that book, but you have heard of the slogan that came from that book, and that was the slogan, "What Would Jesus Do?" Remember when a few years ago, 10 years ago or so, maybe longer than that now, when that was kind of a fad? Everybody was wearing T-shirts, bracelets, you know, WWJD, right? And, you know, truth be told, that really wasn't a revival that broke out. That was just a fad that broke out. I mean, that was just something cool to do, some hip-hop in the Christian world. Listen to me, though. It shouldn't just be a fad. It ought to be the way, as Christians, we live our lives. Amen? What would Jesus do in this instance? Would Jesus say this? Would Jesus say that? Would he go here? Would he go there? Amen? I'm going to tell you, if you want to live well-pleasing in his sight, we need to start viewing our life through his eyes. Amen? Through his eyes. And then last of all, let me give you this last thing. If we're going to be well-pleasing in his sight, we need to understand that our life is to bring glory to God. Glory to God. Look at it one more time with me. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21. I want you to see this. Notice what he says. Make you perfect in every good work. Now, don't get nervous there, okay? That word perfect doesn't mean sinless, okay? It means complete. It means mature. It means you reach a point in your Christian life where you are a mature Christian. You're living your life the way God wants you to live it. Sin-free? Of course not. The Bible tells us that we'll never be sin-free until we get to heaven. But as I say often around here, we may not be sinless, but we ought to, as we mature in our Christian life, sin less. Amen? Sin less. Notice what he says. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Here it is. You ready? To whom be glory forever and ever. Let me tell you, folks, what our lives ought to do as Christians. Bring glory to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Bring glory to him. And everything we do, everything about us ought to point others to him and bring glory to his name. Now, the Bible doesn't speak specifically about each and every situation we face, okay? I tell you, and it's true, that the Bible has the answers for anything we face, but it doesn't speak specifically to every certain situation you may face. However, there are some umbrella principles that will help guide you as you are making decisions, as you're trying to figure out in your life what is and what is not well-pleasing in his sight. They are called the whatsoever verses. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Listen to this. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And that word whatsoever, you know what that means? Okay? You got to put your deep Greek theologian hats on tonight. You know what whatsoever means? Whatsoever. That's what it means. All right? Whatsoever. That means anything you do, whatsoever you do, whether it's in word or deed, you ought to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where my whatsoever has not been in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, instead of bringing glory, I brought shame to his name. I think we've all probably been in that position before. And listen, folks, I'm not saying that to make you feel bad, although we ought to feel bad when we don't bring glory and honor to his name. Right. But I'm saying that to help you and encourage you and let you know, hey, you know what? I need to be living my life according to whatsoever I do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How about this verse, Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, there it is again, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That means this, whatever it is you put your hand to, whatever it is, according to the other verse that you say with your mouth, you ought to be doing it just like you'd be doing it if Jesus Christ were standing right next to you. And by the way, you may not be able to see him, but he is. He is, amen? He is with us everywhere we go. He sees the things we see. He hears the things we hear. He's part of our conversation. Whether we see him or not, I promise you, folks, he is there. And so you ought to allow that to help you figure out what it is I'm doing will bring glory to God. And how about this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, we're going to be doing that here in just a few minutes, amen? Or whatsoever ye do, okay, again, whatsoever, whatever it may be, do all to the glory of God. Amen? Do all to the glory of God. Here's the question we ought to be asking. Can I do this in the name of the Lord Jesus? Can I do this heartily as unto the Lord? Will doing this bring glory and honor to God? Amen? Remember, folks, we're trying to live a life in such a way that's well-pleasing in His sight, well-pleasing in His sight. And probably more than likely throughout the year, I'm going to be bringing you some things, chasing that phrase through the Bible, and bringing some things and that are, the Bible specifically says, that are well-pleasing to God. Now, folks, come on now. Amen? He sure has done so much for us, has He not? If it wasn't for Him, folks, number one, you couldn't even suck air without Him. Your heart wouldn't beat another beat without Him. You wouldn't even be here without Him. Amen? Let alone have your sins forgiven. Let alone have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let alone have this glorious future ahead of us if it wasn't for Him. Right. Let me tell you something. We owe a debt to Him. Amen?
Amen.
We owe a debt to Him. You know what that debt is? To live a life that's well-pleasing in His sight. Let's